Hiya girls, we are Barney and Lukey and we are the hot young visionaries behind Truffle Pig Wigs.
And this is Cliffhangers, the unofficial, unrequested and unhinged RuPaul's Drag Race recap show.
The views and opinions expressed on Cliffhangers are from a couple of women who just love drag and have zero real business judging it. If you are not a fan of red hot acidic critique, turn back now.
Introducing to the stage, he's mad local. It's Barney.
Thank you, Ebony K, for that severe cuss. And Lukey Luck, whose birth certificate is an apology to the condom factory.
It's been 9 full days now since my brain has had any peace and quiet from Big Bang Bombs. It wakes me up in the middle of the night. I go to bed thinking of it. I wake up thinking of it. I think in bings and bongs and dings and dongs. I'm losing my mind.
What about the sings and songs?
They're the worst of all.
I don't know. I am so glad to see the girls skyrocketing into worldwide domination and fame, to be honest.
You could say it's United Kingdom domination.
Oh, it's a crossover you didn't see coming. How are you doing, Lukes?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right.
I can't get over how hot it is today. Me and Lukey are schwitzing in the studio.
So this week,
yes,
finally, Snatch Game, a.k.a. The Crying Game, a.k.a. More Tears Than London in a Pandemic. I was obsessed with how they just showed RuPaul's face change from the United Kingdom's performance back to back with Banana Drama. It was like, you know, when you do the hand thing over your thing and change face.
Yeah, like memes waiting to happen.
The lady is not amused.
No, and quite rightly so. Although I do feel, obviously, you'd want to be very, very happy for your sisters, but it must be so difficult just to see the way that that's blown up in the public eye and just being like, oh, I was just one choice away from being in the King Girls.
So it's straight after Joe's elimination and it's that curse again. If you come back, you're going straight back home. I think only Trixie's the one who has stayed.
1 week and then she went.
Yeah.
But I don't even know why they bother.
No.
Like, it's clearly not working, but it is a fantastic piece of production, TV production.
But like, so good. Not only are you carrying on in that curse, but you've also had the chance to come back and they've also had this massive long break and the whole, like, this whole added extra gutted that you've gone again.
I hate to say it. I hate to see it. I did see that Joe Black had released who their Snatch Game was.
Who?
They were doing Tallulah Bankhead, who, like, I know the name, but, like, I, first of all, not a visual clue for me at all. Like, I get the reference, but it's very sort of like grey finger waves, martini glass. Like,
oh, shock.
Yeah.
Not Joe Black doing Joe Black.
Yeah. If no one is going to know who they are, then I don't feel like they would have done well at Snatch Game either, because I feel like when Jinx Monsoon did Little Edie, not a lot of people would have known who Little Edie was if they hadn't seen Grey Gardens.
Sure.
But there was like a whole visual thing with it that she was like, you could instantly look at her and be like, that is Little Edie if you have seen it, which a lot of older gays would have. And even some of the old soul gays, old soul, whoever old, came up with that is
or the soul souls.
Really, really, we need to put them on ice. But yeah, so I don't actually think she would have done well if she'd stayed. That's my personal opinions.
I mean, not one to predict futures of that haven't happened, but I think she would have just been Joe Black. Being Joe Black, dressed as Joe Black.
That's been kind of a running theme, hasn't it? But yeah, Tia, everyone at this beginning, after they wiped off the message, it was spicy. Everyone was really coming for each other, wasn't it? It was like,
oh, I very much
duck.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. We head straight into the workroom and we're with the wiping of the mirror message. And I thought it was very weird of Tia to be like, sorry, can I just fact check that I'm the first person? It was like, it's a weird time to be gloating. I'd like to ask her, do you think you did well in that lip sync? Do you think you killed it?
I guess if you've won, you've won. There's no need to dwell on bad points.
It just wasn't the vibe, you know. But one thing I do absolutely love about Tia is that she, like you just said, she just doesn't seem to dwell at all on the negative of the situation. She's like, okay, that shit storm is over. Moving on. Always.
I don't think I dwelled enough on her outfit. When I saw it again this week, I was shocked.
Need I remind you that I gave it a 2?
I know.
My lowest score yet.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Only paralleled by the abomination of you giving Ginny Lemon's pink dress a 2 as well. Shout out to Ginny. Interesting that the sister said she's now gained confidence because she has a different wardrobe, which I thought was like...
Is it because you've got a new face?
Ooh, very, very, yeah.
She's not the only one who's got a bad attitude after their NJ, I'll tell you that.
But I just thought it was very interesting because obviously they're in a completely exemplary time that's never happened to any queens before.
Mm.
And would other queens watch that and be like, that's really fucking unfair that you got you got to see the competition, go away, improve yourself and come back. It's like basically you're doing All-Stars now. I thought that if I was watching that and I had appeared on Drag Race, I'd be like, that's kind of out of order.
But
you now feel a bit better. Do you know what I mean?
But, yeah, but with exception to season 12 and 13, like, you got to actually do a world tour after your season. So I think rein it in, boys and girls and theys. I saw the most hilarious meme that obviously didn't save it, can't find it.
Fantastic.
But the top half of it is RuPaul being like, I have flown all the way here. Like, this is the Eurovision of drag. And then cut to her of the season finale of season 12 with the blue face mask
on.
It's like, wow. Yeah. Those in glass houses.
This is the elite state of drag. I don't want anything. I don't want anything pedestrian. And it's just in like literal like purple H&M hoodie. It's
bro.
But for you. And also it's like, so this is what happens when you don't have your 50 people around you.
I thought Bimini looked like a lovely little baby in a little bonnet. It just showed her in her face. It looked like Anna May's Greaseline or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I felt a bit bad for Tia, like sister and Ellie piling on her. So glad that Lawrence clapped back for the gals.
True.
Clapped back for the nation.
I feel like they were sort of vibe checking her though, because she was like her. I feel like for people that are like terrified at that they're going to go home, for someone who's just like lip sync for the second time in a row, just to come back and be like really being very flippant about it, which she was, being like, "Excuse me, am I kind of like a record breaker?"
Mm-mm.
And they're like, "Actually, you've nearly just gone, and this is really fucking serious for us." I felt like it was just like not the right time, and they felt a bit hot about it.
But it's like, you've got no reason to be feeling hot. You didn't have to lip sync, and
I know, but I feel like it's quite disarming for someone not to be taking it very seriously. She's like, do you know what? You might as well go, because this is really fucking serious for me. Because if I was in that position, I would not be acting the way that you were. Mm-hmm. She's perfectly entitled to act however the fuck she wants. But I felt like that was maybe where the reaction was coming from.
When Ellie ripped off that prosthetic beak, I found that very unnerving. Putting a pic of that on for damn sure.
Oh my God, absolutely. And also that there was just like a weird black top lip in it as well. That ain't for me.
I thought, you know, like when the winners sort of hugged and jumped up and down, I thought it was very cringe and gross that then the, I hate to say it, losers were like, oh yeah, like we didn't win. It's like, let them fucking have it. Like, you'll potentially have your chance to shine. But it's like,
maybe not.
Three of those girls haven't won a badge before. Let them enjoy their fucking win, you salty bitches.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's so punchy.
I'm saying it.
So then it is a new day in the workroom and we have everyone come in their cute gay little outfits.
Taste and Ahura looked fucking sick. Taste giving me Rhythm Nation fantasy.
I believe that was some KTZ, I feel. I either read that somewhere or noticed that.
I think I saw someone saying, oh, with the vintage. Yeah.
What I loved in this is the Lawrence's, I know obviously their Twitter handle is Shady Lawrence, Shady Cheney or whatever, but Lawrence is not even shady. They're just like straight up fucking rude to their face. When she just like looked Ellie in the eye and she was like, you're not known for being funny.
I'm not sure how dare Lawrence look straight in Ellie's eyes. She's funny, so brutal.
I know, absolutely savage, just being like, are you worried? Because this isn't a skill you have.
Yeah. Also, Chaney, as Bimini calls her, which I might pick up.
Are you into?
So she has three wins in a row.
Three
and I've done a bit of research.
Research.
She that research. Is matched by Chad and Chanel in All Stars 1.
Yeah.
Alaska in All Stars 2.
Ooh.
And Manila in All Stars 4. But only one has beaten them all with four consecutive main challenge wins. Who and when? If you think you know all your stuff.
Is this any of the drag races?
Yeah.
Oh, four
consecutive wins in a main challenge.
Is it Trinity?
Nope. Oh, she's all over the shop.
No.
Wait a damn minute.
Oh, of course. Thingy. Ben de la Creme.
Yeah. All Stars 3, baby.
Yeah.
She Ben de la Creme'd herself.
Oh, of course, yeah. Sorry.
I very much enjoyed when Tia was like, Why are you coming for me on this day?
Yeah, me too.
Taste was creasing. I thought, that's
a soundbite. I also very much enjoyed Bimini's little NB Miranda Priestley coat cape as well. Did you see that?
Lovely. I saw the fishnet shrug arms.
Little leopard print and coat as cape. I thought, that's very glamorous on an older woman, isn't it?
Well, if you like to do spins when you enter a room, of course you're going to need a capelet.
Yet you today, nothing.
I don't
nothing
spin,
for me.
I twirl. So then RuPaul Charles comes in a lovely cobalt blue chinoiserie suit.
Lady Rubella.
Measles, mumps, rubella. And she announces that it's everyone's favourite, the snatch game.
Oh, the snatch.
The honeys are a bit worried.
El Snatchio. That's because it is fucking hard.
But I was going to say, would you be worried?
No, because I would have prepared for this to the same level that I would have prepared my runways. This is something that we talk about this all the time. And this is something that I would have had. I would have a base. Like, you know how Cracker had that book of outfits to do, wigs to try? I would have a book of snatch.
Yeah. So who would you do on the snatch?
Now, I have two that I go back and forth on, but I did actually watch in this thing of a third one. Now, my first one that I always go to is, which I thought was like super fucking hot before this season, was Lily Savage.
Mm.
It blows my mind that there's been no real reference to arguably the most famous British drag reference that we have,
yeah,
which is Lily Savage. Like, but then I also thought, watching it, I was like, hold up. Me, terrible wig, no makeup, school uniform as Jermaine.
Do they not have to be UK people?
I don't think so.
Is that just... because I think they always are. Oh, no, I suppose because Thingy did Trump.
Yeah.
Because I've really been narrowing my options to UK-based. So before, I didn't think you could do characters.
Yeah.
So then that led me to think, maybe I'd be Chloe from Geordie Shore. I'd be one of them. And just be like, having chicken nuggets coming at me, brah. And just being like,
I feel like that would be a great choice. Crazy. For you. Again, recognizable look, recognizable voice, a real stylistic choice about how she acts all the time.
I do find the Geordie accent one of the hardest, though, so I'd really have to practice.
And she's
Rola Costa.
And also, she's like, without being a bitch, like, she makes a lot of stupid comments as well. So there's like colours to her, do you know what I mean? Rather than just like shouting all the time.
Sure. Martin. Just keep calling RuPaul Martin. Where's Marty?
But yeah, very into that choice for you. But also, I don't want to be robbed of seeing your Jill Tyrrell.
No. Well, yeah, if she's allowed to do Vicky Pollard, then I'm doing Jill Tyrrell.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the walk around. What was your thoughts on someone doing Vicky Pollard? A difficult moment in time to be doing anyone from Little Britain.
Truly.
I just want to go on record and say Cliffhangers does not support anything that Little Britain brought to the forefront in that cursed program.
I thought it was a good choice. I thought it was that is a perfectly rounded comedy character right there for you to do.
And to reference Lawrence Chaney, Shady Chaney, she's not known for her comedy. So I actually thought that is a very smart choice because it doesn't really rely on comedy. It relies on catchphrases.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It relies on just doing the you're a butt, new butt, like, which does make people laugh.
I was actually quite offended by the disservice that RuPaul gave to Dame Shirley Bassey.
I
thought I would reckon I could do a good Dame Shirley, but she'd just be like,
Dame Shirley. Yeah,
I'm coming up with an answer, RuPaul. Or just, you know, like, it's like, how dare you say she's...
thought about that, haven't they? Delivery, character. What was that? The spirit of Dame Shirley was in the room.
Like, Shirley Bassey is a diva, and I can't believe that she doesn't get her chance twice now. She hasn't had a chance to bloody shine.
I've earned my divaship.
Truly.
Yeah, nasty. I really love that they keep some of them secret as well, because they're like, who's going to be on that panel? I love that you don't like find out all of them. I've put again, Lawrence is savage to people's faces. Really, really working his way deep into my heart, honestly. Just like a real, real fantastic. How did you feel about Taste as Kath, the choice?
So good. Love Kath and Kim so much. Yeah. And
I thought that was a real fucking great choice as well, because like, you really can't go that wrong if you know the character inside out. If you can play with, if you like, because do you know what I was thinking, which would be a fantastic fucking choice for you, but also maybe for me? Karen Walker. I can't believe no one's ever done her before.
No.
Recognizable voice, recognizable comedy style, recognizable look.
Like, plus Mitzi. So.
Yeah, plus you get to buy a Mitzi from Wigs by the Way.
On the bus here, I bought myself a blonde... pixie cut wig.
Lovely.
Just for like Zoom chats.
A heartbun.
I don't even know. It's off AliExpress.
Hang on. For Zoom chats, as in like what, with your friends?
Yeah. Why not? Mixed it up.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I just thought that's a really fucking smart choice that they were like, do you know what? I just really know the character, so I can just like mess around with it. For good on you, girl.
And I've seen that Tace has been sharing today, like those of like sort of like the Kath and Kim official Insta has shared it, and everyone's like, Australia loves you, Tace.
Yeah. Smart choice. You broadened that fan base.
Yeah, and oh, Kath J. Knight has honestly got the best fashions. So what a joy, what a treat.
I'm sure we've said this before, but if there's any way, if you're just a gorgeous supermodel queen, if there's any way to win people round, it's wear a tiny little blonde a perm wig and just
and like a shell suit
and just no makeup apart from just like a frosted green lid. Like, she looked mental, but that's the really, like, make yourself ugly and they will come. I put Rue is obsessed with Tia's body. How badly does Rue want to fuck Tia? Like, just, I can't believe how many times she said this season, like, you've got a fantastic body. Like, look at them legs. Look at that body. Your sample size. Like, we know. You've said this every single episode.
At least it stops her talking about Chaney for a second, though.
Truly. It's like, they're the only two people in the room for her. I find it very interesting that every single time Rue's like, oh, like, who do you do impressions of? Like, do we think in this day and age that that many queens have, like, impression-based acts?
Yeah, no, I thought that. Like, obviously people are probably kind of come to Snatch Game doing it for the first time. That's not really the scene.
And he always asked that. And I thought, like, obviously back in the day, maybe, like, we're talking, like, 60s, 70s drag. I know that, like, there was a lot of impersonation of the divas and stuff. If you look at people like Lady Dust, old Chad Michaels, like, people's whose entire drag persona is like literally based on other people. Derek Barry, like, that was much more of a thing, but I don't really feel like you see that anymore. That's much more like old school Vegas drag.
Yeah, and I think if you are an impressionist, bar Derek and Chad, I don't think if you were a full-time impressionist you'd go on Drag Race, because this doesn't really work with the challenges so much.
Well, tell that to first All-Stars winner Chad Michaels.
Well, it's a reception.
And then with Rue, he was like, oh, a family member, you seem to be emotional about them, tell me more. It's like, got absolutely nothing to do with the challenge. She's like, do you think you could evoke the spirit of your family member that you obviously feel very emotional about and you really miss? And can you maybe bring that into the challenge and now talk about it? It's like, fucking hell. Like, stop digging up trauma for TV.
Is he walking around with, like, suits lined with raw onions or something?
I can't. This is the season of the tears, isn't
for
it?
For sure.
Enough is enough. No more tears, girls.
It cracked me up when Nelly was like, from womb to tomb.
That's a West Side Story reference.
Huh?
Womb to tomb, sperm to worm. West Side Story.
Oh.
That's where it's from. Yeah. So that's very cute for the girls. I'm sure the musical theatre gays there are out snapping their life away.
I feel like Rue really fucked up Lawrence by basically saying, you don't need to do anything, just do you.
I know. He was like, yeah, like, don't even bring a character. Just be Lawrence, but in a wig. And it was like,
how unhelpful.
Dot, dot, dot. We'll see how that turns out. Spoiler, not good. Bimini, I just knew it was going to be good. As soon as he was like, who are you doing? As soon as she went, Katie Price, I was like, this is going to be a fucking sensational. I just know.
It was like everything just slotted into place. I couldn't think of anyone more appropriate.
In a velour tracksuit and that double stacked black wig and a lovely rub on tan.
It's the wonky tiara for me.
Do you know what I'd like to see? You may say I'm a dreamer. I'd like to see an end to Rue's emotional talks with the girls. There, I said it. Like, there was like 9 on this walk around and there's only 7 contestants left. Like, yeah. It was by the end when he was, okay, who was he talking to? And he was like, do you know what? Like, oh, when he made, Ahura. First of all, when he made Ahura cry and then was like, you're so powerful now. It's like,
no. Yeah, it's like, this moment that I have given you has changed your life.
We do a dangerous thing in TV, as we saw with...
Us producers.
Yeah. We do a dangerous thing in British TV, which you saw with... Who's that one that looks like a hobgoblin? The one that pretends to be a doctor?
You.
No.
Gillian McKeith. Fuck off, Gillian McKeith!
No, him that pretends to be a psychiatrist doctor that got cancelled.
Jeremy Kyle.
We do this thing where we pretend that people... That all people's advice is very powerful and invaluable. And I feel like someone in the beginning season was like, oh, Rue, so spiritual, so wise. And now he really imparts this very sort of Tumblr basic neo-spirituality on them, being like, oh, you're so powerful now. He's like, actually, you've just really opened a wound that's probably going to make him feel very vulnerable for this whole episode. Like, he clearly needs someone to talk to. And as we've seen by multiple reality TV shows, like, when you open these wounds live on telly, like, they need help. They need to talk to someone. Like, don't just be like, you're very powerful now. On to the next one.
We need a mind medic on set now, please.
And these girls are getting the proper, adequate, like, psychological care that they need to be in such a high-stakes environment.
Yeah, I don't know why they push this whole, like, we need to see a vulnerability. Do we? Just show me a fucking...
Just have an eyelash.
Ball change and a shimmy.
Just have an eyelash hanging off in the lip sync or something. You saw it. Taste, what was that, second week? Vulnerability, honey. Main challenge, do we go on to?
No, I've got a couple of things.
Go.
Found it more than a little shady.
What was more than a little shady?
RuPaul saying to Uhura, well, let's see if you can be funny. It's like, she's proven to you she can be funny.
Innit?
And you took that away from her.
And no one writes her lines. Your move, RuPaul.
Also, thinking about that made me think, oh, imagine Uhura's Essex character and Bim Bimmer's Katie Price doing some ASMR together.
Fantastic.
I was very distracted by those aggressive breastplates in the background during Uhura's heartfelt moment.
You know, like in Wizard of Oz 2, when she's got all them faces?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah, it's really hot, awful. The ones that Ginny was wearing, just like hard as fuck.
Just like titties hanging in every single coat hanger in the background. I loved as well at some point when Lawrence was like, they're chips. They're fun bags. I was like, more fun
chips on the BBC. Shout for the chips.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
And then Rue announces that special guests are going to be the GC. I would have screamed the house down, Crocs.
So then we move into the snatch game, and we need to talk about GC.
She's getting a lot of hate.
She is getting a lot of hate, and let me tell you why. She brought absolutely nothing. I thought it was a complete waste of a guest. I thought literally anyone, I'd rather have had literally anyone back. And I thought, what has happened? Is she what? Well, I have my personal beliefs on what happened. What did you think?
Well, my friend, superstar hairstylist Tom Berry, who we're actually catching up with later,
yes,
told me in advance that Jem sometimes is quite subdued on TV shows. Which I do, thinking about, I do kind of understand, because the things we love about her on TOWIE is her at her like emotional, like wit's end or smashed off her face. And if you're then going to go on a program you really like, you're probably going to want to act a bit better.
I've got a couple of things for you.
Go.
So, first of all, I thought that she was completely out of her depth. And I thought the reason that she was acting like that is because she couldn't take. I thought it was just like a very immature reaction to, like, she can't take not being the center of attention.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I call shade.
First of all, she didn't have any comedy. Like, nothing she said was funny.
Oh, I thought it was quite funny when she was kind of translating for Rue, like, that's a wank, a bell end. I thought that was quite funny, but.
And I thought that, yeah, I just thought that the vibe that she gave me is that she didn't know how to act, because people are comedians and actors, and everyone was just riffing off each other and bouncing, and everyone was trying. She's not a comedian. She's like someone that people laugh with and at. And I think that she was just completely out of her depth. And I think that that made her uncomfortable, because I think there was an expectation of what she was going to be like, and she just didn't know how to rise to it.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate to be sat next to Michelle, who is just like so effortless, yeah, and just like so relaxed.
And can I also say that I heard on the grapevine that she was an absolute nightmare.
Oh, really?
In the studio, yeah. Apparently she was ordering the runners about. Apparently she was just a complete and utter diva.
You could say.
I've earned my diva shit.
But has she? What is she famous for? What has she done?
10 points to Michelle Visage's diamond mole. Obsessed
love
with that. Putting a pic of that on the thing. Not like you didn't see it anyway. Okay, so for Snatch Game this year, we got Tia giving you Mel B, Sister Sister doing Sally Morgan. No fucking idea who she
Absolutely
was.
Absolutely no fucking clue.
People always love doing psychics, and it doesn't usually go down very great.
I can't say it's ever gone down great.
Chaney was Miriam Margoyles, a.k.a. Professor Sprout, for my potheads out there.
Miriam Margoyles. Who, can I just say as well, like, if Rue hadn't had this conversation, Miriam Margoyles is like a fucking brilliant person to do for Snatch Game. It just didn't work out for Lawrence.
Mm.
For anyone that's ever seen her in an interview, like, actually, when she said that she was Miriam Margoyles, I was like, she's going to win it. That's such a brilliant choice. But maybe she's actually not well known enough. Maybe you really have to know her. Like,
I mean, I've never seen an interview with her, but like, she looked like
she's really famous for her outrageous interviews, because whenever they get her all the time on Graham Norton, Alan Carr, all of these different things, even when she hasn't got a project, just because she's the best interviews, because she just says fucking outrageous things. She'll be sitting between Brad Pitt and Kate Blanchett, and she'll be going to Kate Blanchett, "Oh yes, my pussy was so sodden with, because I was so covered in smegma." Like, she just says mental things. She's like, "Oh, and so I popped his cock in my mouth."
So she's not a lesbian.
I've just seen that a thing that she spoke about before when she sucked.
She's not a grade A lesbian. Yeah. Fine.
Grade A.
What do they call it?
Gold star.
Gold star. Yeah. And what is it when you've been caesareanized?
That's gold star.
Okay. So what is it if you've just never lain with a woman?
As God intended.
Maybe is it like platinum level if you're caesarean?
Maybe gold star is that you have never been with a woman, and platinum is if you were caesarean.
I ain't even touched a puss.
Which I fucking hate. It's so gross.
Continuing on, we have Ellie doing Vicky Pollard. Tace doing Jane Turner, a.k.a. Kath J. Knight.
Hello.
Ahura doing Louis Spence, and Bim Bimmer doing Kelly Price.
Bim Bimmer! Who has got the keys?
First of all, why is Tia just doing a Beau Selector impression?
Like, not even.
She was half Beau Selector, half her normal voice.
I would have been happier if she had done Beau Selector, like Melby through the eyes of, what's his name? Avid Merrion.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Like, where were your Spice Girls puns? Where was the leopard print? Like, Alan Carr said, just fucking throw a peace sign up. Like, what's wrong with you? Where's Shirley Bassey?
Bring us Shirley! My worst thing was, I really hate when people do this in Snatch Game, when she's like, "Oh, I redacted that part." She called her dear at one point. It's like, you can't use your own words. Like, you think Mel B would be like, "Yes, I redacted that." No, what the fuck? No, like, that, it takes you out of the fantasy completely. You're not doing a recognisable voice. She's got like such, she's a Brummy, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, such a recognisable accent, which you didn't use at all. Like, I just thought that, for me, that put the dick on flop.
Fantastic use of Eddie Murphy in regards to the BBC, but like, that should have been the one, like, you didn't need to mention him every time you had a question.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me a bit of Max's take of Sharon.
Oh!
Lukey.
Disgusting!
Lukey has jumped out of her skin in the studio. Yeah, do you know what I mean? They like take this like really fucking Disney idea of like what a person is like, and then like, they're just like, it's the mere whisper of them, mention. Like,
you're just
like,
dressed as them.
Yeah, it's like absolutely nothing. And I didn't even think, like, first of all, shout out to Truffle Pig Wigs, who have an absolutely sumptuous Mel B crimp with space buns. but that is soon to be seen on TNT's Claws on the TV.
Although, please don't order them, because we hate doing them.
Yeah, we really fucking do. But, like, she didn't have, like, the famous Mel B hair. Was she wearing leopard print?
She was wearing kind of like a pink coat with like orange like collar and stuff. Like, I can imagine Mel would have worn that, but it's not iconic.
Yeah, but wouldn't you go like iconic? It'd yes. Like doing Jerry.
Because she hadn't planned to. RuPaul just fucking bullied her into it because she told her that Shirley Bassey's got no personality.
But then why not just do Shirley Bassey? Like,
exactly.
It's so...
Because that,
like,
whole
sell
thing
it
is like...
to Ru.
Well, yeah. But then when Ru tells you something, if you don't do it, and then it's
wrong.
Always going to be like, oh, she's fuck.
Not... Well, whatever.
So awkward when people go into these like long speeches. I'm looking at you, Chaney, that just like no one's buying, no one's laughing at, and yet you still like pursue it in the hope that one day someone
be a joke in there. Yeah, it was difficult, but then you also don't know. I don't think in the studio you can really gauge how well it's received apart from whether Rue's laughing or not. I don't, yeah. Like, there's no audience, the other characters can't laugh with you, like...
Everyone's shoulders would be shaken with silent laughter if Luke's is on the panel.
I fucking screamed when I saw Uhura.
Oh my God. I've got a lot to opinions about this.
Absolutely fucking fantastic. Like, I used to be really against, like, not against, but like, I did used to question why anyone would ever do, like, a non-femme, like, for
I mean,
Drag Race.
Definitely femme.
Yeah, well, sure. But like, I always thought, like, who was the first? Was it Little Richard? Woo!
Maybe. Or maybe there was one. Oh, yeah, maybe that was the first. And then I was thought, wow, you really went on in Alaska in the kids TV challenge, but here we are winning a Snatch Game.
Yeah. And I thought, but now I absolutely love it because it brings a bit of spice and a bit of, and especially someone as like smartly,
men.
Especially someone as smartly chosen as, like, to bring the drag element to a male character is fucking great. Like, because he is drag. He is in drag. And he literally was in drag. He was in like a rhinestone leotard.
I think if you didn't enjoy that performance, you just don't know who Louis Spence is.
You don't get the essence of Louis.
I thought that was absolutely amazing. I've had the lucky opportunity to see Louis Spence in the wild at Pineapple. And
as
I can tell you,
dancer.
Just as a lunatic between the halls, never seen him dancing, just seen a... hopping up on this,
no, I meant you
jumping
as a professional
up on that.
Dancer.
Oh,
really,
no,
cutting,
honey.
Really cutting your teeth at the world's premier dance studios.
Oh, no, I'll just go and get drunk there after hours because my friend used to work there.
Oh, yeah, you got it, didn't you?
But yeah, I just thought you just don't know the character if you're not finding that funny.
Baby cakes.
I thought that was great.
I thought it was fucking fantastic. I loved it. I was like, really, I was like belly laughing.
Yeah,
it.
I didn't think the speech impediment was too much.
No,
I was spot on.
His
the legs
speech
were
impediment
great.
Is mental.
Yeah, like he looked like him somehow.
Yeah. I just want to say, Bimini, perfect.
So good. I didn't even write any notes because it's like, you already know.
Sometimes people not only do such a perfect choice, but like are just so fucking consistent and perfect through Snatch Game that just like within 30 seconds, I'm like, okay, you've won it. Like, congratulations.
So that is Jordan. Like, the way she's just kind of like tapping on her like lip fillers and stuff. Bored. Like, how, like, do that is really studying someone so well to just like clock the thing, like little mannerisms they do and stuff that really makes it them.
The way you win Snatch Game as well is that you have a really fucking killer line. When he goes, hello, I'm presenting to Snatch Game, Katie Price, you have one killer line to open it to like set that you're like, I'm going to be fucking funny. And then you've got them on side. When they go like, oh, Jill Tyrrell, how are you? You don't just go like, hi, yeah, thanks, I'm good. And then let him go. Like, you have a line ready to go. Like, do you know what I mean?
It's actually been very hard since my husband's recent funeral.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just ready to go. And yeah, I just thought Bimini was perfect. Also, did you see that on his Insta, someone had put like BAFTA and then the BAFTAs commented on it being like, yes.
There was like the Hundsnet or something did it. And then they commented with like the trophy thing.
And I saw someone as well write online, which I really fucking agreed with, that the reason why Bimini and other queens are so successful at Snatch Game is if you're like respectful to who you do. Like obviously like you're highlighting how ridiculous they are, you're mocking them in some way, but you don't punch down.
There was, well, it's because if it comes from a place of love rather than like, I don't like this person, but I'm going
to
do them.
There's so many jokes to be made about like a lot of the awful things that have happened for Katie Price that would be real like low blows.
Yeah.
And I just think that actually all of it was like super respectful to her. Like it was just funny. And I feel like if she saw that, she wouldn't be mad.
No, I feel like Pricey can laugh at herself.
Pricey.
Taste was just so, so good. So comfortable, like so like in the character. She didn't need to try hard. It just seemed like effortless.
I was really surprised at her like sense of play as well. Like we know Taste to be like, she can be like super silly and so, but I just loved how like free and easy she was. So I was a bit worried with the Great British Bake Off thing. That she seemed tense and I was like, oh, I hope she's not like uptight and scared because she said she was petrified.
Yeah.
But she just seemed so fucking relaxed and brilliant. So happy for her.
Come back, my chuknik.
Chuknik. Vicky Pollard, I thought was quite good.
I would think B+ for that effort.
Yeah. What was your thoughts on, I need to call something out as a lover and supporter of Sister. You can tell that this edit is not favouring her in any way. They just basically didn't show anything of Sister for this entire episode. And they're really not... They didn't show anything on the walk around. They barely show her talking head unless she's cussing someone else out, which you know they orchestrate. You know they say, like, what do you think about so-and-so? Like, and I don't like the edit at all that they're giving Sister at the moment. And I thought that the only things they really showed of her, they showed, like, such minimal things of her performance. And sure, I didn't think it was an exemplary performance, but they showed basically nothing of her.
Well, it's working on me because I've really changed my tune on Sister.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about just very quickly as well that Sister posted on Instagram that she thinks she's been shadow banned, and Sister has like a dramatically lower following count than on Instagram specifically. I think it's much better on Twitter, but a dramatically lower follower count than any of the other girls. I think she's on sort of like 35K and the other girls are all above 100.
Wow.
And I think that, first of all, I'm that must be really fucking shit. We all know how like dog shit Instagram is. Shout out to Instagram for literally trying to ruin every single small business.
Disgusting!
Let's really hope that we can all move away from Instagram and choose a new platform, because it has really turned its eyes to making money and not to helping out any queer performers or businesses. So fuck them.
Sidebar, join us on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. You know, girls. It's all moved over to TikTok.
I found the video question very jarring, just between the difference between the video production value between the Vivian and Bagger. Like, pretty sure Bagger wasn't even doing the right voice for Margaret Thatcher.
No,
very like his half percent effort.
Well, the Vivian's got all of that World of Wonder set up from doing
No, but they have a show together.
True.
So what is the excuse?
Really showing you that prize that you win of the show, it ain't
it
shit.
Was shit.
Yeah. I need to just shout out very quickly before we move on. When Ahura put them legs up on the floor.
Couldn't so good.
Frothing at the mouth. I loved it so much.
With that video question, me and my boyfriend both misheard it as like, so how do you prove you're black? We're like, wait, what? What the fuck are people going to say? But then we realised blank, obviously.
Yeah. But out of 10, what would you give this entire Snatch game?
An eight.
Okay, high. I would have gone, I wasn't that crazy about, sometimes, like, you know when you get a really fucking good one and there's like five or six people that are hitting out of the park?
Mm.
I didn't really feel that.
So how, there's seven on this. So yeah. I enjoyed three of them.
So I would have gone 6.5 out of 10. But onwards and upwards.
Sure. Hi, I'm Barry Scott. When I'm working on Round in Jerk, sure, I'm wearing a truffle pig wig.
Wow!
That's right. And when you're done with it, take it off your head and use the back combing as a sponge.
Unbelievable!
Head to trufflepigwigs.co.uk and use code CLIFFHANGERS. That's code CLIFFHANGERS for 15% off.
Incredible!
It is that time once again at Cliffhangers, where we shout out one of our favourite queer businesses here on the interwebs. And this week we have Drag Central, which is an incredible online boutique for all of your drag needs, presented by the gorgeous and talented Miss Eva Orr. Drag Central is bringing you customised bespoke nail sets, and they're actually very affordable. Obviously, we all know how grossly expensive drag can be, and it's so nice to see such gorgeous work at a nice price point. Now, honestly, go check them out. There is some such amazing designs there. My personal fave is Cosmic Shade, which is a like, beautiful dark black with blue iridescence. Go check them out. It is at Drag Central UK on Instagram. And also go head over to Miss Eva Orr's personal account as well, because not only does she do discounts and codes over there on her drag account, but also just go show her some love. It's Miss_Eva_ORE.
Take a break in our usual programming to give you guys an interview with extra special guest, superstar hairdresser Tom Berry.
Hello.
He has been in the biz for 20 years. Ooh. He's in charge of Daphne Guinness's famous monochromatic beehive.
And also responsible for Jessie Ware's iconic first album cover hair.
Created the custom human lace wig used on Willem Suckless front cover.
And also styled Miss Fame's platinum bob wig. You might have seen it at DragCon UK 19.
Has recently been taming the golden locks of the one and only GC.
Oh, yeah.
And most notably, he does my hair, doesn't he? It's Tom Berry.
Oh,
how are you, babe?
Stunning as usual, you know, the sun's been shining today, so that always makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Shout out to Tom Berry, who introduced Lukey, who then introduced me to the number one hair magic trick, which is Schwarzkopf silhouette spray, the black spray of death.
Yeah, Tom black death. Black death.
Absolutely.
Mainly because the bottles are so big, you could literally bludgeon someone to death with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know kind of the Got to Be Glued is the go-to for any queen worldwide. But
that's the finisher. That's,
yeah.
That's once everything is in place.
Absolutely. I mean, the Black Death is just, it is, you need some in your life. You absolutely need some in your life.
So what a perfect episode to have you on, having done the hair for two of the guests.
Both absolutely lovely girls. Jessie, I worked with a while back before anyone really knew who she was, and she'd just kind of done her thing with Disclosure. And yeah, Gemma more recently, she's got amazing, lovely, long blonde hair, and it's always a pleasure to blow dry her.
I would argue, though, Jessie Ware's most iconic hair look.
I would agree.
I can remember seeing that on the tubes and thinking, that's it.
The profile, it was shot by a really amazing photographer, a good friend of mine, Paul Scala, an Australian guy. And it was styled by Sonny Grew, who's an incredible Dutch stylist. He lives in New York now. I think we were all kind of at the beginnings of our careers and not really kind of made much dent in the industries. And then obviously Jessie got signed with Sony and went kind of mega.
And I'd say you invented the anal bead hair, no?
Yeah.
That we're seeing on the runway constantly these days, just by Got Mick the other week.
Absolutely.
So what did you think of Snatch Game this week?
Snatch Game was an interesting one.
Who are your tops, who are your bottoms?
Bimini, of course, babes. Her Jordan, her everything about her was amazing. That the lip movements, she's quite possibly Jordan's half sister, Katie Price's half sister, and obviously Taste was great. The wig, the makeup, it was nice to see her in makeup that wasn't beautiful. Nice seeing the wig that wasn't beautiful. And moving on to the bottom, obviously, kind of tears. Mel B was very disappointing. I think her wig needed some Mel B highlights in. Do you know what I mean?
The hair. We've said this in the pod. I mean,
yeah.
Why not iconic?
Yeah, she needs
her.
Absolutely. There should have been more definition. There should have been some chunky slices in there. Yeah.
It was just lovely zigzag parting.
Yeah, it was just kind of, yeah. It
uninspired.
Was
Can I ask, Tom, it's a big question, but what has been your favourite wig of the entire season so far? Obviously, you can't say either of our wigs that have been on.
No, I mean, yeah. They will go down in Drag Race history, but I think my favourite one is Bimini's butt plug wig. Obviously, kind of...
love.
Obviously, the balloons didn't go to plan, but the hair was just... It was that the structure which kind of really it plays to my heart with Daphne Guinness's hair. It's all about the sculpture of the hair, which really gets me going.
I believe I might have seen on the gram, on the Twitter somewhere, that underneath there was polystyrene balls.
It wouldn't surprise me. Obviously, when you're creating shapes, you need to have something that's light. Yeah. And that you can mold the hair around, you can stick it to. And so that if it's a lot of the time when hair is heavy, when you've got a lot of hair there and you've got hair pieces in it. So the padding needs to be light.
All right, then. So what about your worst wig of the season so far?
Worst wig. I mean, I don't want to be calling anyone out, but I've not really seen any massive major styling on any of Tia's wigs. They've all looked really cheap and they've all looked kind of just not thought about, not cohesive with the rest of the looks, and just quite sloppy. sorry, Tia.
Would you give any advice on what she could do to zhuzh up these flat, sad little guys?
Throw them all away, start again.
I mean, I think especially with synthetic wigs, and I know, Guy, that's what you guys work with, they're great because they hold kind of curl and styling them, but you still need kind of to put that base in there as well, that scaffolding in the hair, so it doesn't just kind of fall flat and stuff. So things like texturizing powders are really, really great for building that scaffolding for when you're kind of putting the back combing in and stuff like that. And yeah, just a good brush, really. You can buy a cheap synthetic wig and make it look £300 just with a little bit of work. Obviously, with the synthetic wigs that come maybe pre-styled, get your steamer out and restyle them and kind of make them yours rather than just pulling them out of the bag, not even shaking it and plonking it on your head. So and this isn't just Taste. I'm Taste, sorry, this isn't just Taste.
No,
No. this isn't just tear. I apologize.
I was going to say, you are cussing out on the pod them 40-inch hair units provided by Stephen Austin Hare.
Exactly. Tasis wigs are always amazing. Always amazing.
Especially the most recent one.
Yeah, definitely the one this week, I feel.
Definitely. Absolutely.
We have quite a few baby queens in our midst. In your supreme knowledge of hair, what would you suggest if you are styling a synthetic wig for the first time? What would be an easy style to go for?
Hairdressing is all about creating shapes. You put a texture in, you create shapes, and just have a play around with lots of different things. It is very easy just to get lost in a style and to be like, oh, just chuck a few pins in, and then without thinking about what your vision is, what you're creating. So having that vision in your head about where you want to go is always the most important thing. And then kind of almost kind of rewinding from that vision and thinking, like taking it apart in your head and thinking, okay, so how would I start that? Would I need a pad in that? Would I need to secure a bit of... secure it in the middle with a ponytail first, and then maybe pull hair around the ponytail to disguise it, because a ponytail is always a really great way to start a style, even if the ponytail isn't going to be seen. So you can take a small section around your crown, secure that, then you've got something to secure the rest of your style into, whether you're securing pads into it, whether you're just bringing the rest of the hair onto it.
So what about the gals out of drag and their hair? Are we seeing any running themes this season?
I mean, we've got to look back right to the beginning of 2020, I think, to get the inspiration of where I think a lot of the girls have got their hair vibes from. Tiger King with the mullets, and you know what, I'm guilty. I had a mullet for the whole of 2020.
I've got one right now, Tom.
It's a very, very easy style to do yourself when you're at home, when the hairdressers aren't open. Get your sides off, get your thin scissors through the top, chop it up a little bit.
My housemate cut mine drunk on Christmas Eve.
Thanks a lot, you idiot.
But do you think even with my flat and fine hair it would look good?
Absolutely.
Would I have to put like stuff in it, products?
Stuff. This is a wig stylist that's like things. Would I have to put stuff in it?
With any style, you're only going to elevate it with products. So whether it's just chucking something in like a sea salt spray when it's wet and letting it dry, then you've got that texture, you've got that scaffolding in there when it's dried. You don't have to blow dry if you don't want to. You're going to get more out of it if you blow dry. A mousse. I love classic products. So mousse gel, hairspray, my favourite products ever. You can do kind of pretty much anything with mousse gel and hairspray.
Barney basically got laughed out of Sally Beauty for asking if they had mousse, didn't you?
Yeah. When I asked...
No one uses that anymore.
We were looking for mousse and they were like... mousse, as in hair mousse. I was like, yeah. This wasn't Sally's. This never would have happened in PAX. But they thought it was laughable.
I mean, I've used mousse since the beginning of time. When I was at secondary school, I used to have a grade one undercut up to my temples, and I used to use Salon Selective's mousse.
Salon Selective, Salon Style.
In the nice pink bottles, the mousse and the hairspray. I used to do a middle parting, two quiffs at the front. I used to set my...
Behave.
Yeah, well, a quiff on each side in my middle parting. And I used to set my quiffs before I went to school with an old-fashioned, like, 80s, like, heater, like this small little handheld heater. I used to sit in my bedroom and set the quiffs at the front of my hair. Then when I used to get to school, the girls... used to twist my side bit, the side bits, the rest of my hair into little kind of spider spikes like Peter Andre.
Of course.
Exactly. The looks have always been there.
Maybe that could be the picture of you we put on the pod.
Please. Wall-to-wall looks.
What about predictions for season three for the out of drag season looks?
I'm predicting the kind of the basin, but like the 80s kind of quaffed Princess Diana style basin, which is what I'm currently rocking now.
You've got a lady guy.
I mean, yeah. She was my inspiration. But kind of obviously the basins were huge in the 60s with the Beatles and stuff like that. They were styled very natural and very straight.
Is there a difference between the basin and the bowl cut?
I guess no. I mean, the basin, the bowl, the page boy. The page boy is kind of what it almost evolved into in the 80s when it was kind of like dropped down to the back and stuff.
Tom, I'm scared to ask you, but who do you think is next to go?
The two that aren't giving me enough, which I think I would like to see in the bottom two, would be Ellie. I think she's done all she can do. I think there's only so much you can paint a beautiful face, but she's kind of, there's not a lot more substance there with her. Obviously, she is a great seamstress and stuff like that, but I'm not getting anything new.
Yeah, agreed.
Sister isn't really doing it for me anymore. I think she went up in my stakes, but I think she's, I don't know. I don't know how much more she can give. Obviously, I think she's gone away and she has kind of tried to reinvent herself. So let's see what she gives next week.
All right, then. So who do you think would win?
I think Bimini, as I know you guys love. For me,
I think she's the people's princess. I think she's the crowd favourite.
She's the rough diamond. And I think she's relatable to so many people that she just does herself. She doesn't
and
take herself
as well. She's absolutely not just one of the gals. She's someone to really look up to.
At the same time, you can't deny Taser's beauty, fashion sense, body. I mean, she is the ultimate Barbie. But at the same time, she doesn't take herself too seriously, as we've seen in kind of the Untucked and stuff.
Tom, what would you have done for this week's runway, pre-historic?
You know what? As much as I didn't like appreciate Tia's kind of finished look, she's the only one that did a dinosaur. Like, and I can't believe there wasn't any more dinosaurs there. I mean, like, surely, like, Land Before Time was everybody's childhood movie.
Sarah.
Triceratops would have been amazing.
The thing is, though, as she showed us, that really requires some elevated, that you're going to really need to know your way around a garment to be able to pull off a dinosaur, because otherwise you'll get Tia.
You know, Violet, when she came back to with her kind of weird head crown skull imagine if you did something like that, like the triceratop kind of triple crown is like coming out
would
of
you not
head.
Remember Sasha did some sort of like weird sort of like alien versus predator like giant like head prosthetic thing. You could have done that, like it could be amazing.
Have you got any suggestions for our dream cast of season three?
Who would you love to see, Tom?
Well, I think as I took you in the summer to Touche, and we saw the lovely Bimini and the lovely Taste. Another one of the girls working the Touche circuit, a beautiful, beautiful girl. She's a bit rough around the edges, but that's why I love her. Her name's Cassandra. She is a singer, a dancer, songwriter. I think she plays the piano and everything as well. I first saw her, she was singing one of her own little songs that she'd written and produced in a nice black leotard with safety pins at the back and a crazy little whip that she was whipping all over the stage. She's absolutely wild.
That's the perfect word for her.
Totally one to watch. She might need maybe a season four debut. But she's the sweetest girl ever and doesn't take herself seriously and just goes for it, absolutely goes for it. So if anyone in the near future gets the chance to see Cassandra, you will not be disappointed.
And so her Instagram to follow her is Stephen with a PH _ Cassandra _ Eyre, spelled EYRE. So Stephen _ Cassandra _
Go check her out.
Absolutely.
And I guess then finally, have you just got any other tips and tricks, any other thoughts about Drag Race?
I mean, tips and tricks hair-wise, we've gone through a lot, but I think...
I've been feeding the children.
Yeah, I think if you're not used to styling hair, I think getting a little dolly head and playing around with that.
So when you say dolly head, do you mean like one of those ones that you get as a little girl?
a girl's world, you know, you can get them from hair and beauty supplies. You can get them on the Tinter web, anywhere. So they're just, yeah, they're just practice heads. They usually come with a little clamp, but they're just really good to kind of play around with hair. As for kind of moving forward in Drag Race, what would I like to see? I think I'd like to see some nicer shoes on the girls.
So would we, Tom. Desperate for a nice pump.
I know it's hard when you've got larger feet. I mean, I'm lucky, I'm just on the cusp. My feet are size 9. I can fit into a size 8 girl's feet.
Mega shoes.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah, I mean the worst shoe of the week this week was definitely Tia's nude peep toe platform stiletto. It just really took me back to the Girls Aloud I Can't Speak French days. And yeah. It just wasn't in keeping with any other part of the look. It was just so like, oh, I've got this shoe. It's nude, so no one will be able to see it kind of thing.
Well, I think that's all we've really got time for today. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Tom, for coming on and teaching us things about hair.
My absolute pleasure. I think we'll definitely, once this lockdown's been lifted, we'll definitely have to get together and maybe get something in the cauldron brewing. So do some truffle berry coutures. Yeah, definitely. I would absolutely love to come and do that.
All right then, babes. We'll speak to you soon. Love you.
All right, ta-ra.
Bye.
So we're back in the studio. It's elimination day. Bimini walking in next to Tia. It was like Bert and Ernie or something. I think Bimini comes up to Tia's left nipple or something. Oh, so cute.
Don't you just want to pick her up above your head?
But weird, still, because she's got lovely long legs. Well, they seem so long. Yeah.
I mean, I think they're just very elegant. I would say they're not very...
But like they seem long, and then you look her next to Tia, and it's like they are not long.
She's a gal of proportions. She is. You know? and then we head into the mirror talks, which are just this season so emotional.
Tia and Lawrence discussing Lawrence's performance. I thought maybe it's karma.
Ooh.
Since you brought up that Ahura didn't win the design challenge.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's nothing more difficult than bombing Snatch Game, I think, because...
Especially if bombing anything that you're meant to be the best at.
Well, yeah, especially if you're a comedy queen. But I think as well, you do it and then you have to stew on it overnight and wait until the next day. Rather than your runway, you present and then just go. Mm. It's like you really have to like sit on something that you know has huge expectations to be great. And there's no other challenge like that where the expectation is like, this really, really proves what sort of queen you are.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Tia, in these conversations, I just thought, she seems to be at peace with leaving. And she's like, I am shitting it. I've done really bad. She just seemed like quite chill about the fact that she's like, I've done terrible, so I've already packed.
Yeah. better that than being like, I was great, and then being really surprised.
Yeah. Do you know what really cracked me up, though, is I really thought that when Tay started speaking to Ellie, that was like so clearly produced. She was like, oh, so Ellie, like, you seem like, and she was like, obviously so busy. She was like going, like looking for something. She was like, so you were crying earlier. Tell us about that. It was just like this is not, I hate that. It's not good TV.
On the US one today, Utica was like, so has anyone ever had any problems on social media before? I was like, that is not a natural question, sis.
Ooh, real ease, real organic conversation there.
There was a bit when Tace and Ellie were talking, I'm going to put a pick in, that Ellie's blending was so good, it made me go cross-eyed or think there was like a blur on my TV. It's very weird. Mm. I'll put a picture in. Did you notice?
No. I didn't. I just thought that, like, Ellie is so young and so fucking resilient. Like, the fact that in, like, the lockdown thing, she was talking about homelessness, and then she's just like so...
This piece of shit dad of hers.
Yeah, like she's just been like speaking about her family problems and her issues with her dad. Like, she's had a fucking tough old life for such a young girl, and she's
How does she go from 19 to 21 in the space of a few episodes is something I
don't
know.
Is she 19?
In the first one, they were talking about how young she is, and RuPaul said she was 19, and then in this she was like, I'm 21. I was like... So if maybe she was right before her 20th birthday when she went in.
2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah, but still, there's still not enough time for her to have gone up 2 ages. So no. It's just sweet confusing.
Maybe she was 19 when she applied.
Maybe.
And then we head to the main stage. And our guest judge this week is not only the Tooth Fairy herself, Alan Carr, who we love, but our gal, Jessie Ware. What were your thoughts on Jessie Ware as a judge?
thought she was fine.
Yeah, I thought she had I thought she seemed kind and nice. And
yeah, she seems like a real nice egg.
Yeah, she looked great. And just obsessed with Michelle's waves in that lovely grey hair. Just thought it was lovely on
her
face.
We got two hair looks from Michelle this week, which is very lucky. Thoughts on RuPaul's outfit?
Are you turning up in just a piece of fabric around your body?
I've got comments.
I thought that was a bold move after you... Michelle so quickly comes for people who just turn up in a leotard.
Mm.
For that piece of nude fabric to just be stretched around your giant frame, I thought...
Very weird.
You're bold, Mom.
I mean, I did make, an audible moan when she just started at me with them legs again.
I mean...
Coming down it. But I just thought... Looking at the top of the dress where the like nude illusion bit is, like that's very high street. Like, what if Joe had been wearing that?
Very
H&M. Have said?
Yeah.
What, you couldn't pop on a necklace? I also thought, and I've taken a screenshot, so we're going to have to get the hackers to enhance and zoom in.
You tell them, LG.
Potential cliffhanger.
Oh!
I know! It does look like it could just be exactly level, the toe and the shoe,
no,
but I am
going to
enhance.
If
we're
her, legs,
put the answer
if her legs are 6 miles long, I believe the feet also, she would have
the toes must be
Paris Hilton feet, and she must, Lady Frackington would definitely have cliffhangers.
I can't think of anything I'd prefer more than to have a picture of RuPaul having cliffhangers.
Yeah, I think we'd need it on a t-shirt as merch.
the logo for the show.
Message us if you need merch, because we need merch. Yeah, I thought the dress was, it was rude, actually. And on the main stage this week, the theme is prehistoric 1 million years BC.
What would you have done?
So my initial thought, which I'm glad I wouldn't have, well, I would have been beating myself if I had gone with, was sort of like very like fur and bones Mongolian prehistoric, which actually turns out pretty much everyone.
Well, that is, unless you're Bimini, that is basically what you're going to think of with prehistoric.
Well, I really hope, I'm hoping that I would have taken it further, because actually then seeing that when I saw them in the lineup, I thought actually apart from Bimini like and Tace, they're...
Anahora.
Ahura for, I mean, obviously we'll get onto this, but like even Ahura, they were all of the same ilk.
Mm.
And I thought, that was my initial thought, but then I think I would have hopefully elevated it too, then thinking about it. I would have loved to do like that, but like then with like a sort of like prehistoric early man face, like done, like built it up,
yeah,
and have like
I
a
said.
Really heavy brow, be very hairy, and have like a long sort of like really, really long sort of like 60-inch hair coming out of like the armpits, like everything, and just be like, really fucking ugly.
Mm. Yeah, I said basically the same. I was like, bushy monobrow for damn sure. I can't believe everyone 100%. Had such lovely eyebrows.
Yeah, like a lovely lace front brow.
Like a Neanderthal brow prosthetic. I thought like, yeah, just different types of like animal furs, like sort of held together with leather laces.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, could have like thigh-high boots made out of like an empty saber-toothed tiger, so like the
Excuse
head
me.
Is the feet. And then I was thinking, if it was backwards, then the saber-tooths could be like the heel, like double heel on the boot.
Sick.
And I was like, and I would just, yeah, have like real like manic behavior, like it would be cool to do like the eye shapes and contouring stuff to make it look kind of just like mud and dirt.
Yeah.
And also with element of Xena warrior princess, because why the fuck not.
Did you see that Bagger posted like my prehistoric look and then a picture of Davina? Honestly, Bagger, love you. So first up we have Ahura wearing custom dyed and styled Stephen Austin hair.
Yes, she said she's serving us cavewoman sex.
This outfit really called us basic in all 7,000 worldwide spoken languages, didn't it?
Mm.
I thought this was so exquisite. I just thought it was the combination of like when I know that Ahura's done this and Sasha's done this in the past, but like that 3D printing around the contours of the body is just like such a smart design / science element. And I just fucking loved it as soon as she came out. I loved it.
Yeah, so it's very reminiscent of Sasha's second look on the finale.
Yeah.
I loved just her grubby body. And I like the corset kind of reminded me of like shark's teeth, you know, like all the different like rows they
have.
Yeah,
yeah. It was kind of also a bit
socks.
Like trilobite, like sort of, but there was something like almost like fish-like about it as well. I liked it.
I was very into, it's a new trend I'm spotting, both her and Tace were doing it.
Yes, hello.
Real Girl Sexy Sandals.
Real Girl. Yeah. Just because a lovely, so often lovely people thong
just,
tie up.
Yeah, so often people just wear like the same like platform peep toe, just like this is all that
was that
fits
shade
me.
To Ellie Diamond?
It's shade
wearing,
to everyone
the,
who's
the
scared to wear
black patent boots.
No, because that was a sick boot. Like, who's mad at a sex boot?
I am for a prehistoric look. We'll get onto that.
But yeah, just lovely to see some like strappy sandals on the runway.
Yeah, a lovely pair of Manolos.
So how many truffles did
you give her? I went 9 and it was nearly a 10.
I went 9 truffles or something.
The only thing that held me back from it was I didn't love the face.
Mm.
I just would have...
Do you agree with Jessie Ware?
That... No, and I will get onto that about straight people commenting on anything to do with queer art.
Then you shouldn't let any of them come on, should they?
Well, that's my point.
Oh, wow.
But I just thought I did love what she did. I just didn't know whether it was hitting right for me for the prehistoric.
Sure.
Maybe I would have liked to see it in a different look. I don't know. There was something small that I can't really put my finger on that didn't make it fully cohesive to me, but I did fucking love it.
Did you like it when she just slammed that fur down on the floor?
Yeah, I've got written down. I was like, very me and you move. Just like as soon as the costume can come off, it is off.
See ya.
Yeah. So I gave it 9.
Nice.
And now on to Is Tace.
She's wearing a fucking wig. Wigs on the runway.
It's custom truffle pig wigs.
In the Lockdown Queens video, there was footage of her with the most giant, giant big black wig.
Yeah.
And she almost wore that. But then about 2 days before they went back, she messaged us. And she was like, I've got this option, but I'd really love one of yours. And you know, we were like, do you know what, babe? We'll do it for you.
Say no more. shout out to Givehead Wigs, who provided the unit.
Fantastic.
And yeah, it was inspired by, there's a Merton Marcus Rihanna shoot where she does this like amazing shoot with wolves and stuff. And she's like, and it was inspired by that. I just fucking loved this. This to me, like combining the prehistoric, but also with other cultural elements to it, I just thought it was fucking great.
Yes, yeah, so she said it was voodoo priestess, witch doctor, tribal queen, realness. Just thought the makeup was so sick.
So sick.
So beautiful.
And that gross mouth full of teeth.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah, that element as well of like, the face was beautiful, but then she had them teeth that was like, it actually kind of made me feel a bit sick.
Mm, and I was obsessed with her movements as well. That sort of like elephant roar at the end. So she's like...
And I loved as well the... she was wearing Boy Gorge. She's wearing
a Hora's. A Hori? Why not?
She was wearing piece from, I believe, Boy Gorge's when she was at... Was she CSM or LCF?
I don't know.
I've definitely seen her speak about it, but she from a collection that she did at uni.
It kind of reminded me of like, the Mighty Boosh artwork, the kind of character
absolutely.
On it.
It was also that sort of knitwear as well. It was a bit sort of like Matty Boven. It was great. I just thought the whole look came together so well. The face, the hair, obviously.
It's the truth, Ruth. Deal with it.
And straight up, I'm sure you did too. I gave it a 10.
I gave it a fucking 10.
That's a 10.
And can I point out, I would have given it a 10, even if we hadn't done that fantastic hair.
I don't. I'm not even going to pretend to try and see past the biasness. It's a 10 either way. Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we have Sister, who is wearing custom Florencia.
Giving us 90s supermodel cavewoman diva.
And I saw someone put the Betty Flintstone Marge Simpson collab. I absolutely loved the cat. That was a great little thing. It was very reminiscent for me of Aquaria's Inner Saboteur look.
Pudge
yeah, I think stuff. It was a reference to like a Mugler look, that leopard, but then she had them 3D printed like mouth sort of bone things.
I wish the dress was not that.
like when they say to Alaska, they're like, oh, I wish you had a nicer shoe on, and she's like, me too.
Yeah, so I didn't like the green tassels with the animal print.
It was a bit lampshade.
Yeah, and tassel. I just like, same with Lawrence, like I don't want to see a fitted dress in a prehistoric category. Sorry about it. I gave her 6.5 truffles.
Did you? I actually gave it an 8. I really liked the hair, even though I really deeply believe in, obviously, the reusing of, like, wigs and looks. Like, you shouldn't just, like, wear them once. Feel like you can't wear them again because they've been on a show. But the only thing with that hair is it's so iconic and I have seen it before.
Yeah, it's her promo look, isn't it?
I wish I'd seen it on the runway first because I feel like I would have gone much more crazy about it if I hadn't seen it before.
Same.
But
that's the wig was what was making it a 6.5. It would have been less if... that lovely beehive, wasn't there?
Sure. And I just really liked it. I really liked seeing, shout out to House of Palooka, who've done this quite a few times. I just really liked seeing non-conventional like wig shapes on the runway, which we don't really see that much in UK drag. But yeah, I really fucking love that. And I give, eight. Next up, we have the question still remaining, Tia Coffey.
Pterodactyl on the runway.
My mum told me if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. So
I really don't like it, Kath.
She looks like a Victorian plague doctor. Is that like, did she not consider that?
Very that. My first thing that I put is serving body. What? Does she know what? Did she know how you serve body?
I think just
who is she serving it to? Not us. It was just so weird because I thought, what? Like, I was actually genuinely confused by it. I had to like go back because I was like, you're not in anything form fitting. You've got webbing between your arms and your body anyway. Like, how do you think you're serving body? It was just really confusing to me. I was like, what a strange thing to say when you're in something that's so completely shapeless. It's like,
well, I mean, it was tight on her torso, but that.
No, it wasn't because she had the wings.
No, but you could see like her body.
I didn't. And then, I just...
I gave it a 3, truffles.
Ah! Rhinestones does not an outfit maketh, unfortunately. Like, that can't be...
Not that pathetic amount as well. There's only about 200 on there, probably. You need thousands if you want it to bloody work.
I need some fucking Aurea Borealis. Yeah, your talent can't be rhinestones. I'm sorry, that can't be the highlight of your outfit.
Who is it that said pretty girls don't need rhinestones?
Kamora Black. Yeah. No, she said stoning's for ugly girls.
Make her seem nicer.
Shout out to Kamora Black, who really brought nothing but wild things to the runway. Look at me being like, if you don't have anything nice to say, and then just like,
10
cuss
later.
Her, ow, chair her. And I just thought it was all very strange to me, and she just really went hard for it, and it threw me off.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 4.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Ms. Bimini Bon Boulash, who is in custom Dan Chapman hair, who we've seen a lot of great hair from Dan Chapman, actually. And she's now, I don't know if you've seen, have just recently released a new collection with Ahura. She's doing some sort of like collab with Ahura with wigs, which is that she just really does fucking gorgeous finger waves. She's really, for a British wig stylist, she's really the person that you would go to for like nice sculptural hair.
I really thought you were talking about Bimini then for ages because you were saying she. The royal she.
We're all she's to me. I just want to be transparent and say, Bimini Bon Boulash, you need to be more considerate as I have asthma and you took my breath away. Honestly, can I just point out that
please do.
It is ludicrous for a drag race queen during a pandemic to be getting a garment made that is referencing Couturier Iris Van Herpen's silhouettes. Like, when that came out, I was literally like, oh my fucking God. Like,
that was by Ricky Lee Drayford, by the way.
There's one thing being a queen that is like referencing like contemporary fashion, and that's obviously fucking fantastic. But you don't come out and be like, oh yeah, you know that really famous like high-end couturier who their work takes like 100 hands and millions of hours, and you've like referenced that in a fucking gorgeous way that looks constructed and incredible. Like, it was, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was that the techniques that it takes to make an Iris Van Herpen dress, like, what?
My favorite bit was when she was like, if you don't get it straight away, read a book. Like, yes, thank you. Why should we bow down to your stupidity, general public?
Yeah, exactly. Learn from me. So if you don't like the shape of this dress, then go argue with your mum. That's really your problem, not mine. And also shout out to the Natasha Marrow shoes. Did you see them? Them like amazing. Yeah, of course. If she doesn't get some sort of like vegan food endorsement after this, then heads will roll. I need her to be the new face of like Linda McCartney sausages.
I remember a few years ago, they got, they had loads of burlesque girls do auditions to be the new face of faggots, so there's no reason that Bimini couldn't be vegan faggot.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are certain words that I think sound stupid coming from my mouth, and I don't like to say them too much, but I'm gonna have to use 2 on Bimini's.
Yeah,
beautiful and ethereal.
Not just bringing outfits to the runway that like fit the criteria, that like every single fucking time, to me, she just goes above and beyond.
Yeah.
She's never bringing, you know how we're always like, oh, maybe I would do this, but like, oh, 3 girls have done it. Like, she never even skates close to doing something that anyone else has tried. There's been no attempts at outfits that have been nothing but unique. I just fucking love her. And you know what, it's never been... I normally, in Drag Race, have such a clear idea of who I need to win. I have one person that I fixate all my hot, potent sexual energy on. And this time it is so tied between three people that I can't bear it, that I'm like, I'm actually dreading the finale coming because I can't really see any of my honeys go.
No.
It's going to be fucking tough.
Basically, I gave her a 10.
That's a 10.
Basically, bitch. I gave her a 10. Run the clip.
That's a 10.
Absolutely. This, yeah. I mean, this and Tace's look for me was just a real fucking highlight. And how many... I can't wait to go back and do... Maybe I'll do a lovely table and put it up on the gram. I need to see what... who got the highest scores overall, because I'm pretty sure I've given Bimini a 10 pretty much every single week. Just absolutely fantastic. Next up, we have Lady Shady herself. It's Lawrence Cheney.
Lady Shady, Lawrence Cheney. I really like the teeth. Loved the teeth.
That's a very... Shout out to you.
Meth.
Shout out to Meth.
Yeah, I loved the teeth. I loved the Diamante rips. Called herself... Cavewoman realness. It wasn't, honey. It was the same silhouette you're giving us every time. Yeah, you got body, but 6 truffles from me.
I'm going to start with the nice. I said body looked right as always. Constructing a body out of...
But we know she can do that. She's wearing the same pads every week, Barney. It's not rocket science.
I know. I just thought it deserved a shout out. I thought her body looked right. I was trying to find something positive. because for the first time, I just was like, I'm actually not that impressed. And I normally am very consecutively impressed with Lawrence. Mm. We always say, like, the construction is right. The hair looks good. I am just worried we've hit a bit of a wall in terms of, you know, at one point they said to Bianca, like if you come out here in another fucking boat neck dress that's just like frilled and form fitting, we're going to have to let you go. Like,
we know you can do it. You can't just do the same thing good over and over.
And I just wonder that a bit with Lawrence, that she has a very, very singular idea of like what her drag looks like in terms of like, it's always going to be gowns. It's always going to have similar construction that, yes, she does it well, but do we need to see it again? Mm. And I just, when she came out, I was a bit like... Absolutely nothing. I thought it was a camp old bar look. I could have seen her doing a B-52s number in that at the bar. But
that's what Sister was giving me.
B-52s?
Yeah.
She was giving me B-11. yeah, and I thought also as well, one thing that I really don't like with queens, I love old drag, but I don't like when drag makes them look old. Yeah. And I thought she looked very, very old. Mm. She was giving me sort of like... geriatric drag.
That's a good name. Geri Hattrick. Yeah.
Yeah. Presenting to the stage, Miss Geri Hattrick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I gave it a 5.
5 truffles.
Because remember, she does do her own hair, and I think that's quite consecutively good. And next up, we have the baby herself. It's Ellie Diamond, who also hair every single week and outfits constructed by her.
I loved the hair. I saw it hanging around in the...
You loved the hair because she's a taller queen. I love that she always goes big with the hair. She's you, Lukey, presenting to the stage. You are very from that school, aren't you? It's like, I need my hair to completely engulf my body. I need it to be 9.
Yeah, well, what's the point?
9 times the size of my body. And may I point out that Lukey is also 4'8" and a sample size.
her makeup was absolutely stunning.
Yeah, that's really what I wrote. Either the brows were too high or the wig was too low. It was about 4 centimetres between them. When it cut to her at one point, I was like, you know,
maybe that was a nod to a brow, a big brow, maybe.
But... No, because that's like heavy brow. That's like thick Neanderthal brow. It's just like she just had no forehead whatsoever.
Oh, you're saying there was too little?
Yeah, the brows were too high or the wig was too low. Sure. Something was going on there. One thing I really don't like is when people create a whole conceptual look, regardless of like what quality you thought it was, and then just chuck a thigh-high PVC boot on it. Like, what? Such a strange, like, that was 50% of her body, basically.
Yeah.
And like, the thigh, like, put some fur trim on it, throw a couple of bones around it, something. It was just like that really took me out of the fantasy, and it made me not like the outfit.
I suppose, yeah, that then it turns into more like a Halloween outfit.
I hate to say it, I gave Ellie 5.
I gave her a 6 truffles.
Okay. Let's talk the real teas. The wigs. I need to hear your zinger. I need to hear your minger.
My zinger was our wig, but with honourable mention to Florencia's beehive.
Yeah. And I'm really... One thing we didn't talk about earlier when this came on, I really need to know about the construction of that. Do we think it's caged?
Yeah, it is. I remember seeing her making it.
And what's really interesting...
She learned from the Annie Hard. Is that her name?
Yeah, Annie Hard. What's really interesting is that the hair is wrapped around it horizontally.
Yeah, it looks like it's not trying to be a normal beehive. It's like its own weird
thing. Yeah, it's more like a hair art construction.
Yeah, heart.
And I love that it's, yeah, I really agree. My zinger was Sister Sisters, but also that Dan Chapman Bimini's one. Fucking weird. And just loved its sort of like braided, plaited concept.
Mm.
Thought that was fucking great.
And your minger?
Tia's weird fucking crimp.
Yeah.
I just thought it was such a strange choice for, I'm sorry if a stylist did that. We're not cursing out your work. I just thought it was a really strange choice. You were supposed to be a pterodactyl. So it's like that for me, I would have gone like slicked back or pony or something, just something different. Or maybe like something
something hard, not soft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just that, it was a complete disconnect for me. And I also just really didn't like the colours.
No, who puts rainbow with grey? Oh, maybe it's like a rainbow coming through the grey clouds. It's a concept. She's a pterodactyl flying through the sky.
You really fucking sold that to me, if I'm honest. I was like, oh, clouds, rainbow.
Sky.
It's a gay pterodactyl. Yeah. Yeah. And that was my minger. What was yours?
That.
Oh, you. Damn, sis. And then we head on to the critique. How did you feel about how the judges critiqued the gals?
Well, first of all, I was a bit confused because normally we have three tops and three bottoms.
Yeah.
But there was only five there. So I was... So I was very confused as to whether Ahura was a top or a bottom. And I think she thought she was a bottom. I think everyone thought she was a bottom and maybe she was meant to be, but I don't think there's any way she should have been.
Oh, no, 100%. Bottom. My first thing that I put was that I just... thought they went so hard on Ahura. I was like a bit baffled by it. I was like, she was fucking fantastic. And I thought she did great in the snatch game. But I suppose it's getting to that point in the competition where, like, if you're not in the very top, then you have to be a bottom.
But then why wasn't she safe?
I've got two gripes with Jessie Ware, and I'm going to tell you my first one. When she was like, oh, you didn't really take it far enough. But then I thought, did I want you to take it that far? It's like, what do you want then, Jessie? Like, that is the most wank critique ever. It's like, first of all, what would be taking it too far in the snatch game? You say you've watched all seasons. Did you see Detox coming to the front and pretending to piss? Did you see Fifi O'Hara give a twirl, give a twirl, give a twirl? Like,
I really hate it, Cassie.
Did you see the romper room fuckery that has gone on so many times in snatch game? Like, I don't understand what you think going too hard would be, but it definitely wasn't the fantastic comedic experience that was the
response. I guess maybe she thought the lisp, but like, get over it.
Also, did you think that maybe it would be too disrespectful to Dame Louis Spence? I don't think so. So I didn't like that. And I feel like maybe I'm just a bit too hot because they were coming for a horror.
I liked it when Alan Carr said that Taze looked like Diana Ross has gone mental in a Safari Park gift shop. Because I thought the Diana Ross bit is us.
Yeah. And the safari. And I thought we're definitely going to have to put that on the IG, aren't we? When Alan Carr was like, oh, I really like it when Snatch Game becomes surreal, I thought...
Is that because it's a black person playing a white person?
I just thought it wasn't really surreal at all. I thought actually she was kind of getting realism, no?
Yeah.
And I thought actually for Snatch Game, like, it's really got surreal. Like, sometimes it's really fucking weird, but this wasn't one of them. And I thought that was a bit of a weird thing to say. RuPaul reading her about the pads. She just knows that in 20 years' time, it's going to be Taysa's Drag Race.
Yeah.
She's like, I've got to bash this bitch down while I can, because she is really coming for the crown for the beauty.
Honestly.
With the nerve, audacity, gumption and the gall. And I...
Her whole body could be hip pads. I don't even care.
No, 100%. I don't care if she's wearing the hip pads glued outside of her tights.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, try it. And I just thought that, how are you going to try and read Taze saying that her hip pads are showing? She's fucking 16 pounds soaking wet. Like, there is nothing to cling to. Her hip pads are always going to be showing. Like, you can see every single muscle in her body. Like, I don't know where you think she was going to hide it.
I found it really hard to watch how overtime Lawrence was working.
That's what I
to
put
try
as well.
And win back favour.
I think she just knew that she was like, I've done fucked up.
Mm.
And also in contrast as well to how the ease that Taze took it with, like Taze was just like sort of, when RuPaul herself was like, your hip pads are showing. She was like, oh yeah, I sort of saw that. She's like, not. And then it cut straight to Lawrence and Lawrence was like, hello, talk, talk, talk. Like, it's like, oh, you're panicking, babe. I don't want that for you. Also as well, another person who, this is real stardom to me, Bimini, so at ease on that runway.
She doesn't mind correcting Alan Carr. It's not amoeba, it's bacteria. And he didn't take that bad. It's like two famous people talking to each other.
Icons supporting icons.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Lawrence, when he started crying, I hate it. And this is what I fucking hate about this, like, insistence on, like, really dredging up all these awful memories for them for TV, is I feel like it desensitizes us to just how awful the things are that they're talking about. Like, they are literally talking about, like, the queer pain that they have gone through, but because it's just like rolled out in every single episode, and then memes are made about it saying, I don't want to see any more fucking crying. Like, it's like we are really just invalidating.
Thanks a lot, you idiot.
Really just invalidating and just skipping over just like all these like really terrible life experiences that they've gone through and how difficult it is for them as public facing figures that are so new to being scrutinized by the world. I just, yeah, I don't want to see that. Tia, on that runway, it must be difficult. She's just, every single week, she's like, I really desperately want to give you more. But, and what's difficult is that you can see that she thinks she's giving more. And it's like, she thinks she's got an expectation that she's elevated it and brought more to the runway. And then she goes in front of them and they're like, it's just not.
Nah.
It's just not of a level that we want. So that was.
But really, that's, whose fault is that? Is that not the casting people that have like looked over everyone's stuff and chosen her despite her not having the same wardrobe as other people?
The thing is, it's difficult, is like you, what you bring to the runway is visual. So it's very easy for people, everyone wears clothes. It's very easy for people to critique how high end your looks are. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can look at it and be like, I don't think that's as good as, and also because they come one after the other, you can be like, that wasn't as good as the one before or the one after, whatever. But like, what Tia brings to the competition is good TV. She's funny. She gives good talking head.
Mm.
And like, so, which you just take for granted because you're watching a TV show and enjoying it. So it's like, clearly the casting directors would have been like, she might not kill on the runway or even in the challenges, but she will be fucking good TV.
Sidebar, thinking of fucking good TV, I'm so obsessed with Married at First Sight Australia season 6. If I'm not got UK hine in my head, all I want to do is watch that. But
shout out.
Watch it after they listen to the pod.
Yeah, absolutely. All whilst. And then we head on to Untucked. One of my friends texted me this week saying, oh, is it Untucked because they untuck their dicks? It was like, this is why straight people should not be allowed to watch.
But they actually don't. Because they've got to go back out on the runway. So,
and also, as you know by UK Drag Race, like, not a lot of the dicks are tucked. Most of them are just hanging out underneath a nice little racist skirt. I'm going to say that I think the trajectory of Sister Sister, I think, is highly produced. Now that Ahura was really being given the bitch nasty edit, and now you're seeing real vulnerability from her, and she got her redemption arc. And I think that they are struggling, because the queens, it's such a fucking good season, and the queens are so loved, they're really struggling with making a villain out of someone.
But we don't need a villain.
But they do for TV.
Like,
there's always one. Every single time, there is a villain.
It was a turn off for me. Anyway.
And I think that it's highly produced, and they're not showing her do anything. I feel like Ahura is our inner voice. She is saying the things that everyone is too scared to say, and she's Rago saying them. But also the fact that she was scared to perform, I thought, oh, whores, that ain't you. She is a sensational performer, and I thought, I hate that.
Well, it's because she felt restricted in her clothes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The idea.
Just break off them bones. Give us a fucking.
We'll print it again, honey.
Who was it? Mayhem giving us with the
you pebbles. Wanna pick some me? I thought.
No, it was Hole, wasn't it? Not Britney Spears.
No. Not you want a piece of me. It's you want a piece of me. That's the lyric.
Still sounds like Britney, but anyway.
It must be really fucking awful to be scared that you're like, I think, like, I can fucking perform, I can kill a performance, but it might be this costume that is going to pull me back. That must be such a shit feeling. Like,
literally do it in your undergarments then.
Yeah, 100%. And also, the queens in All Stars are allowed to change.
Yeah, they're all the stars, time. Honey. They've earned their diva shit.
I didn't like that they felt, because Lawrence is a front runner, that she's just not allowed to be upset. Everyone was like really like sort of like attacking her for being very vulnerable and open about. They were sort of like attacking the fact that she was like upset about doing badly. And it's like, just because she's done well, like, she sees herself as a comedy queen, and she thought this was going to be something that she would excel in. And arguably she was one of the worst. And so she's just upset. They wouldn't hold space for her to just like, it's not like she's like sitting around like crying, like trying to take up all the air in the room, being like, oh my god, this is the worst. She just literally had a moment. They were like, are you okay? And she was like, no, like, I'm like really disappointed with myself. And they were like, wow, she's disappointed with herself.
Yeah, I thought, don't ask sympathy from me. You weren't showing me any love when you were in the top.
True.
When it goes back to the judges for their sort of final delibs,
yeah,
I thought it was such great comments to get for Bimini. Alan Carr said that her performance was a masterclass, which is fucking wild. RuPaul said, gave her credit for editorializing the concept of prehistoric, which again is just like, that is a sick compliment to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we said, like she not only took... She not only took the concept and moved so far outside of what was expected, but also she could have just gone with like an amoeba bacteria thing and done that. But like she elevated a unique concept. It was like just, I fucking love her. Everything about it to me was exquisite. I'd give, in fact, she'd be my first 11 out of 10.
So it's probably not a surprise that she is the winner of this week.
As fucking deserved. So then heading into the lip sync, we in our bottom two this week are Tia Coffey and Lawrence Chaney. Do you agree?
I do agree. I'm just happy with those two lip syncing as the worst two.
Absolutely agree.
And to Kathy Dennis, Touch Me, another banger. I loved how all the judges were singing along this time.
And also Ahura, absolutely loved the song, but I not for a lip sync. I thought these mid-tempo songs are very, very difficult. And I thought, I do love the song, and I really loved that everyone was really jamming, but I thought it was a tough lip sync song this week.
I think they both made the mistake of trying to dance it too much. I feel like that's one you just kind of walking around slowly, like more like close to your body, especially if you've got your arms that you can't move. Tia, why are you trying to give us 5 points, north, south, east and west?
She's like, a pointer, sister, honey.
You can't reach anything though. Like, it's all like... Like, it's quite a sensual song, even though it's got like a dance beat. You could just be kind of just like touching yourself and on the floor and rubbing your hair.
Performance styles, can we talk? I just thought Tia bringing, and I'm going to, I know this is a harsh thing to say, but this is the third performance now that we've had from her, and this really compounded how I feel about her. She lip sync, bringing me nothing.
Yeah.
Sure, once upon a time she threw herself on the floor. She smashed her knees up.
For the
drama. But I just thought, really, actually, she's not a lip syncer.
No, and remember coming in, she was like, I'm a performer, I'm a singer, I'm a dancer. I guess that's that Clapham life. I didn't really get the what personality or character Lawrence was trying to convey. It was just very chin heavy, unless he was trying to
pitch
like Claire from Steps or something.
Giving you the Claire grimace.
Like, yeah, just like the whole like, the personality he gave himself in the lip sync didn't match the song. It didn't match his character. It was just very weird. And just
I think that was the Lawrence Chaney character. I think we haven't seen a Lawrence Chaney performance. And I think that's what she gives you. She gives you sort of like...
I really don't like it, Kath.
I think she gives you sort of like bold, strong diva.
Do you know who was going...
Ursula energy.
Who did the best in the whole of it? Jessie Ware going the fuck off.
Yeah.
Hitting every beat.
I would like to say about Tia that my one thing that isn't very hot for me for drag queens is when drag queens perform, I've said this, I can't remember who I said it, but probably actually about Tia. I don't like when drag queens perform like they're singing, and that's what Tia does. Like, my best sort of drag lip sync performance is when they tell, it doesn't have to be the story of the song, but when they tell a story. And I think that the biggest part for me of lip syncing is acting. Mm. And if you cast your mind back to, obviously this is a very obvious reference to use, but Sasha Velour giving you So Emotional. She told a story from beginning to end that isn't necessarily the story of the song, but the acting, the intensity, the intention of every single movement and every single line was so clear. And I think quite often you see drag queens that aren't actors, just singers or whatever, just like not really give you any narrative with the, and I just looked at her face and I was like, she's not using her face. She points a bit and she dances a bit, but she's not a dancer. But like, there's no like, there's no intensity, there's no strength to her face.
No,
just sort of like,
just kind of just smiling.
Remember In Memory tasted absolutely nothing. She didn't dance, she didn't move, she didn't like,
she did everything,
but the intensity and the storytelling, that's what I need to see. I need to see storytelling. Mm. But I did think, I think it is fair to say that I personally felt like the lip sync is a difficult performance. I didn't think that song lent itself well to a Drag Race performance. That mid-tempo that you can't really dance to, that was a difficult choice. My head jumped straight to Shut Up and Drive.
Mm.
You've got, stylistically, the song, you'd be giving the car references, all of that, but also like it's a tempo you can dance to. It changes throughout. When it's just like a vocal that it just sort of stays at the same tempo and it's mid-tempo, that's like difficult to dance to, but it's also not the intensity of a ballad. I think that's a hard chance.
Well, yeah, if you're just using like a club track, it's just like a constant beat, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not really much shade and light of it.
Club track.
the club tracks. From the lip sync, though, I think deservedly, we say goodbye to Tia Coffey. And I'm really glad she stayed this long, actually. Not at the expense of, well, literally anyone that's gone home. I would love to have Cherry Valentine to have stayed over her.
Astina,
yeah. But I do think that she has been a great narrator, and I'm really glad that she got to show this much of herself. I thought that, like, actually, sure, she hasn't been my favourite at all, but I'm glad that she stayed.
I like her as a human. I thought it's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, a real good thing about UK Drag Race is people are just so much less starstruck of RuPaul. Like, imagine someone in America being like, are you sure? Like, that wouldn't have happened. So I really like that about Tia.
The dramatics of it are so much lower. Like, the stakes of it, people are just so much more chilled that it gives them the confidence and the comfort to just really be themselves and, like, have a joke. Everyone really pokes fun of how stupid Drag Race is, whereas like on the American one, the fucking contrast of going from the UK one to season 13 of America is just like, the joy of the UK one compared to like how much of like a America's Next Top Model competition season 13 is quite startling. And I'm really fucking glad to say and to see Tia Coffey. She leaves Drag Race UK straight out an electropop single. Last time I checked, it was like charting.
Oh, that's good.
Absolutely fantastic.
So I was going to ask, did she do Clap and Proud? But I guess she
did. I think she fucking did. I mean, we'd have to ask the 11 people that are in the in Clapham. But yeah, and I almost forgot for a second about the East London Clapham.
Yeah,
theme.
How could you?
Yeah.
Before we start finishing up, did we see a bit of a Horus Donkey Tale? I tried to screenshot it.
Oh, get it on the pod, honey.
It's so hard.
Let's raise a glass to all the donkey tails. Yeah. We don't see that enough. Although you have been calling out a couple of meaty teas, like Mystic Meg herself. You forecast. You were saying, hold up, did I see a giant dong on Tace? And then in her girl band challenge, she's saying, inches to the floor, I ain't talking about my weave.
She's talking about the weave.
It's like, you know, she's got one eye looking out for Selena, one eye on all the cocks.
When it went to next week's, at first, I didn't clock that Ahura was wearing dungarees. And it's got the highest waistline. I took a picture of her. It is like the jeans start just underneath her nipples. It's so crazy. But then later on, you see it's a one-strap dungie.
She's a queen that cares about the silhouette. Raven. What I'm going to say? That face. It is unbelievable when you think that Raven is like a sort of, she's like a 75-year-old man. And she's like, she's a trucker. Like, do you think about it? Like, she's a very masculine-looking man.
Mm. I don't love to see Tace having an injury.
Oh,
obviously,
my God.
We know it's, you know, not going to be anything.
It's going to be a literal paper cut. But I just don't
a
want
hangnail.
To, yeah, I just don't want to see the honey in peril.
No.
Ever. When it flicked to, I think it was Michelle saying, like, I'm sorry, that does not cut it. I thought, hang on, hold up. Tia's gone. Who's now not cutting it? I believe I'm going to call it. Who do you think?
Ellie.
Next crafty queen.
On the hit list.
Yeah, I believe. And I feel like maybe the cliffhanger should be that we call it who we think might be in the bottom two. How about that?
What's the next week's episode?
Next episode is Super She-Rose, and they have to construct a garment out of found materials.
Okay, so it's another construction challenge. So Ahura will be safe.
Ahura will be safe.
Ellie will be safe, maybe.
Maybe.
She makes a lot of her own stuff.
Maybe. I think, and
Lawrence
and Sister makes all her own stuff
Fuck,
as well. So maybe
why that means Bimini and Tace in the bottom, not having that.
No, absolutely not. I think Bimini will turn it out. I think she would have thought about the construction. Haven't we? We've seen construction before, and actually Tace and Bimini excelled in them.
Mm.
But cleverly, Ahura was the real right person to bone because she's a designer.
Yeah.
She's obviously going to help her friend.
She's a designer.
She's a designer. And she's obviously going to help her friend. So actually, yeah.
Good, her bum buddy.
Good rooting. And
Rose and Thorn.
Okay.
What's it going to be?
My Rose, which I imagine actually might be yours as well. My Rose was Katie Price. I thought it was fucking brilliant. Every so often, I couldn't pick out one. Even though I did think that Vivian, I thought hers was good last season. There's rarely a character on Snatch Game that I'm like, absolutely fucking nailed. And I thought Katie Price was fucking nailed. Love you, Bims.
Yeah, my Rose was just Bimini in general, plus
her being.
P.S. our wig.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, Thorn.
Well, I don't know about this now, because now you've made me feel that I'm just a sucker being led by the producers. But I was going to say Sister's Baditude.
Which is funny, because my Thorn is, for the first time this season, I got the feeling this episode of a real sense of production, which I don't like because that's an American thing. I feel like our Drag Race is driven by the girls and not by the production. Mm. That's such an American thing. And I thought for the first time, with the sort of taste being like, oh, Ellie, please tell us about your trauma, and then just everyone crying, and also the construction of this villain arc for Sister Sister, I thought, do you know what? I'm actually seeing for the first time real heavy production, and I don't like it, Kath. So yeah, that was my thorn. So let's head on to Season 3 Dreamcast.
My dream cast for this week would be Ms. Soraya Marshall.
Oh, just, I love her.
Absolute angel face, lip sync assassin, just totally gorgeous. And she now has makeup tutorials on YouTube. So if you follow that and you can even get 2% of the beauty that she's givering, sure, then like you're onto a winner.
I don't know whether she's relatively new, but I remember seeing her for the first time and being like, excuse me, who the hell is
this? Lots
those?
Of like nice sort of like 80s looks.
Yeah. She's really, there's something about her face as well that's quite Jada Essence Hall. Like she's got some sort of like, you know that like, Jada Essence Hall can be quite painted, but just that real sort of like, I'm going to say it, she's giving you sort of like Sierra beauty.
Oof.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. Love to see the girls branching out into YouTube. I love to see, I really need as much in this hellhole lockdown. I need to see as much content on as many platforms as possible. My Season 3 Dreamcast is, I know you love them, I love them, Zodi.
Gorgeous angel.
You could paint as Zodi. They have like such a
recognizable
and like iconic like eye shape. But one thing I love about them is I would guess that their background is in art, because they're so intricate and they're so well painted. And I love to see that they're doing a completely different take on drag, and also some fucking great wigs. You know them gorgeous like give head wigs, the sort of like ponytails ones. You know them. I think I've seen them in some of the gorgeous, and I feel like as well that I've seen them modelling for a wig company as well. But yeah, just absolutely love their drag. Please head over to, I believe it's at the Only Zodi, which is Zodi, because their drag is fucking exquisite.
It's the truth, Ruth. Deal with it.
And so that is the wrap-up of episode 6. Wow, that is our sixth. That is the wrapping up of our 6th podcast. How about that?
Crazy.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun.
So, as another exciting Snatch Game comes to an end, so does this episode of Cliffhangers.
Oh, what a treat it's been.
It's been a pleasure as always, Barney.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you soon, gals and guys and gays and theys.
See you on the flip side.
Bye.